Hello, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nate, and today I'm going to be sharing with you a couple of the many lessons that the Lord has been teaching me over the last few years. So, a little bit of background. I grew up attending Hillview for all my life, and in my childhood, I heard about Jesus and his love for me. I was told that I was a sinner and that the punishment for my sins would be death. I knew that Jesus died on the cross to take away the penalty of hell that I deserved. And because of what I'd heard, and out of a fear of hell, to be honest, I prayed to accept God into my heart at the age of 6. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I prayed to God that day that he would come into my heart, but at the time, I didn't truly understand what I was doing. I went through the motions, but I wasn't truly repenting of my sin. I was told that I was a sinner and that I deserved to die, but the weight of this never set in for me. Though I had confessed with my mouth, I didn't understand what it meant to truly submit to Jesus. I thought I was a pretty good kid myself, and I didn't need Christ to be the Lord of my life. So a few years later, we were visiting some relatives in India when I was around 9, and a man at our local church spoke about the severity of going to hell. He described hell with this horrible imagery, painting it as a place of total death and destruction. But he also emphasized that the only way to be saved from hell was by having a true relationship with Christ, submitting to him, and giving him full control over my life. It was at this moment that it really set in for me that hell was eternal, and that I alone could not save myself from it. Amen. So that day I went home and discussed this with my parents and truly accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you might be wondering, Nate, why did you tell us this story from back when you were 9 years old? And so the main thing I want to tell you is that the major roadblock before my salvation at the age of 9 was my unwillingness to let Jesus become the Lord of my life. And this issue of submission to him continued well after I was saved, especially in early high school. So Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." And around this time, you could say that this was my least favorite Bible verse in the whole Bible, as I often thought that I was the one who knew best about myself, and so my plans would be the best for myself, naturally. I hated not being in control and not being able to see the full picture in my life as God did. As such, I leaned heavily on my own wisdom when it came to making decisions, and I didn't seek out the Lord's will in my life. Additionally, I failed to see the Lord's hand in the successes I had, and I would often count my wins as coming from my own strength and not from him. I would seek out my own glory instead of reflecting that onto God, and I felt entitled to the success I gained. So around the beginning of 10th grade, I got involved with this business program in my school, which I enjoyed being a part of, and in order to advance to the next level in junior year, I would have to overcome some of my competition, some of my peers for more limited slots. And that year, things didn't really go my way, and it was clear to me, and it was clear to everyone involved, that I was one of the weaker candidates for those limited positions. And I was frustrated with the Lord because of this. And I remember asking him, "Lord, why did you allow me to waste so much time on this when you knew that I wouldn't even be able to advance to the next position?" I went into the selection meeting dejected, but to my surprise, I was given the position. And when I asked why, they said that one of the main reasons was that because in comparison to my competition, I displayed more integrity and kindness when dealing with others, which are characteristics I only developed because of my relationship with Christ. Even though my own plan failed and my own efforts couldn't get me into this, God really showed me his hand working in my life. A verse I like to reflect on when thinking about this is Psalm 127, verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Through this experience, the Lord really showed me that he was the ultimate source of any success in my life, and it didn't come from my own ability or skill as much as I wanted it to. But despite God's providence in my life, I soon went back to doubting him and questioning whether what he had for me was best. The next year, as I continued on in this school program, a lot of my friends from the previous year had left, and I was left with a new set of peers whom I didn't really know as well. I felt sort of alone and out of place, especially because in my attempts to connect with them, many of the conversations that they had and the activities they participated in, I felt were not fitting for a child of God. And so I started to doubt God again. I remember telling him, "Lord, I know I asked you for this, but you should have known that this wasn't going to be good for me. Why did you give it to me?" I remember one particular time that they were ridiculing me for not participating in one of their activities, and I just couldn't put up with any anymore. I was alone, and in desperation, I went to the bathroom, and I pulled out my phone, the Bible app, and you know, they say, like, sometimes when you're feeling helpless, you can open to a random verse, a random page in your Bible, and the Lord will speak to you through that. And so I pulled out my phone's Bible app, and I opened to a random verse, and I landed on Psalm 38:7. "Behold, I have a painful disease in my loins, and there is no soundness in my flesh." All right, so maybe that random thing didn't work, but I figured I already had my phone out, so I might as well search up, like, what's a verse that can comfort me when I'm feeling alone. And the verse that came up was Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. It says, "Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever." As I read that verse, I felt a sense of peace, knowing that though my friends here may come and go, the Lord is the only constant in my life. He taught me to trust him and to lean on him, even when I couldn't see what he was doing in my own life. Over time, slowly but surely, I started to find others who I could become friends with. And that same year, I mentioned to one of these new friends that I made in the program that I was a Christian. And his first response was, "Huh, you don't seem like a Christian to me." And at first I was taken aback. I was like, "What?" And I asked him, "Why do you say so?" And he said, "Well, most Christians I know are hateful or racists." And I was like, "Whew." Could have been a very different testimony. But after that initial shock had worn off, I realized, hey, him and many others surrounding him didn't have a view of Christianity shaped by the love of Jesus. Rather, one-off things that they heard on the news or people they met who didn't reflect that love. And so over the course of the year, I was able to spend more and more time with him and eventually share the gospel with him. And looking back on it, if I'd never been placed into this program where I didn't know anyone and I felt alone for the first part, I would never have been able to witness to my friend, and his view of Christ might still be one of hatred or racism. Though I didn't understand it at the time, God had a purpose for putting me in the situation which I first thought was uncomfortable. So this summer, I felt called to join STEP in order to grow in my relationship with God. And so far, though it's been a little busy, I found it quite rewarding. I've gained a greater desire to spend time in the Word outside of my daily quiet times, and I've also gained some good tools for studying the Bible. But before I close, I want to end with a verse which I think of as a theme of my testimony, which is Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." I know that my life has many trials still yet to come, but even when I'm not able to see it, I know that God has a purpose for everything he puts in my life. And I can rest in the assurance that his plans for me are good, and that the best place for me to be is in his will. Thank you.